All right, welcome to another Saturday night on peoplesinternetradio.com. It's currently, well, it's 11 p.m. over in Europe and Ireland, Scotland, elsewhere, where this is being transmitted. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is normally not my slot and my hour, but the host, Sherry, that does have this slot, she has been throwing up for 2 days, and she's not able to come on air. But this is a very special Cancel the Cabal, and I did want to say, Graham wants me to mention, Lynn Thayer has been released from her French prison and is safe and well. This is a huge result in the fight of natural health and justice in the UK and the great work of Scott Tipps and his Natural Health Foundation. Godspeed, Lynn. Absolutely. Too many alternative health providers have been attacked, and I guess we could probably me and my guest might get into that kind of discussion. Maybe we won't, but I want to welcome back a long time friend. I don't know, 4 or 5 years, probably
something like that.
5 years ago now, and I think maybe 4 years ago or three, somewhere in there, I had her on, and one other of her showmates, but Derica Klaus is back on the show. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I've been sending you messages a few times over the months, wanting to get you back on. I, you know, it's very disheartening what we do, seeing so little gratitude. I know we were talking about this before we went on air. So little gratitude and so much attack.
Yes. And honestly, gratitude's not that important to me. And like overt results aren't even that important to me. But when people are so hateful and close-minded about it, that's really disheartening. Because, you know, I mean, people get upset, so upset over my opinions, and they have to prove me wrong. And really, all my opinion is that I don't have any right to control your life, just like you don't have any right to control my life. And boy, does that make people angry. It's the weirdest thing to get angry about.
Sure it does. I happened to mention something about a post earlier today. I will go to the post so I don't screw it up, but give me a few seconds here.
One of my posts?
No, one of mine. Oh. It goes to the fact, you know, if you have to force somebody, your opinion on them, or force your values on somebody, those values or that opinion isn't really worth much.
Right. We say that on the round table all the time. You know, the other podcast that I do, the Anarchy Among Friends roundtable discussion, which is available on YouTube and Stitcher and like all the podcatchers and whatever.
Yes, by the way, go ahead and say all that. Tell everybody.
Yeah, so that's the other podcast that I do. And also I've written a book. It was more of a homeschooling lesson plan that I published in case other people felt like they needed it. And that is on Amazon. And it's called Think for Yourself, a Critical Thinking Workbook for Beginners. And it's just like the basics of Aristotelian logic for kids, and minus any kind of political bias being presented as, you know, the natural conclusion of critical thinking, which I found that in all the others that I tried, that I looked for to teach my kids this, because I am a homeschooling mom. And so none of the, all the other books had too much bias in them and too many things that weren't natural, like logical conclusions being presented as such, because I guess the author couldn't see the hypocrisy in that. But mine, I don't use any political examples anywhere in it. You know, my examples are things like the difference between a cook and a chef when we're talking about first principles. And, you know, somebody, one of your friends thinks that another friend stole his bike, and how can you get to the bottom of that? You know, those kind of things. So there's no political anything anywhere in it.
It's just
a really simple workbook. And you've read it, haven't you? You have.
I have. I bought it. I have read it.
Yeah, that's right.
It is very, very, it's an easy read, actually.
Yeah, I tried to keep it that way. So my middle son was 11 when I wrote that for him, because I felt like I needed something more concrete to be using to get him through this subject, other than just like talking. There's only so much kids can stand sitting around listening to their parents, you know, lecture.
Yes, yes. I do know. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it to you. I've mentioned it to quite a few other people I've had on shows and been on shows with and stuff like that. You know, I remember as a kid 40 plus years ago, I'm 55 now. It's been over 40 years, probably even 45 years or so. I remember hearing about this New World Order and this Illuminati and all this stuff, but it just didn't resonate with me, like you mentioned a minute ago. I heard the older men talking about it, and it didn't really resonate with me, and I didn't care about it. I was into sports, and now it's different.
Right. And at a point in our life, all of us like deliberately don't care about things that our parents do care about. You know what I mean? Like we make that conscious like break from our parents at some point. And it can take a little while to realize that maybe they knew what they were talking about after all.
Sure.
So, I wanted him to have like a workbook that he could write in and work through on his own. And, you know, so, I mean, it still came from me because I wrote it, but, you know, maybe I could like take Sharpie and cross my name off the cover or something and give it to him.
Tell him, give it to all your friends. Right out there. Who wrote this book? I don't know.
I don't know.
You some mentioned, person. Yeah, some crazy woman.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago about some sort of a theorem. What'd you call it?
What's that?
Algoric theory?
Oh,
something?
Agorist.
Agorist. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, agorism is just, I mean, in like ancient Rome, right? Or Greece, actually, I believe it was. The agora was just the open air marketplace where people exchanged goods and services, and a transaction was between the two people who were conducting the transaction. So agorism is just the, it's kind of the method of using person-to-person transactions to conduct business that don't involve government, like keeping the government out of your economic activity. Because it could be argued that they have no right to stick their noses in it to begin with. And I could argue that all day if you asked me to, but don't, because I don't want to get started. But that's all agorism is sometimes it's gray market, sometimes it's black market, sometimes it's like here in Virginia, we have like the cottage food laws or whatever. So if I'm selling my caramel and my peanut brittle and stuff, which I do all the time, they're not going to stick their noses into it anyways, because there just happens to be a law on the books here that keeps them out of like small, you know, like people selling stuff out of their kitchens, which is fine. So it's perfectly legal for me to do it, but it's still agorism, because even if they did want to stick their noses in it, I wouldn't care and I wouldn't let them.
Right.
So, yeah, we were talking about agorist, computer software. We're not going to use the word pirated.
Correct.
We're going to call it agorist software.
Correct. Agorist software. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I would kind of like to jump into the social contract, which you were talking about in the post the other day. You know, first looking at that phrase, social contract. Mm-hmm. One might actually think that we have a choice whether or not we can choose to interact with society. And
contracts have to be entered into voluntarily or they're null and void.
Correct. Yes. Well, I've always thought that, yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. However, like everything else, apparently, in the political sphere, you tack the word social onto the beginning of it, and now you have no choice. And you have to accept that it exists, even though there really is no such thing. Sure. So,
why do you say that, though?
Why do I say that it doesn't exist?
No. You attack the word social onto it, and it changes. Why do you?
Right. Right. Well, because the concept of the word social has been used and abused and misused for decades now. People use the word social when really they mean political. They use the word social when really they mean collectivism. They mean you don't have a choice. They mean you're part of our group, whether you like it or not, and you better behave the way that we think you should behave. What being social should be about is about voluntarily interacting with people that you choose to interact with, right? We all think social. Like I could say, one of my kids is super social. Like, and that would mean that he really enjoys people and he's very chatty and he makes friends with everybody he meets. And I do have a kid like that.
Do you think there's a negative stigmatism on people that are branded antisocial?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's wrong. None of us have a right to, you know, tell other people how they should interact with anyone else. People have their own comfort zones. People have their own experiences. People have their own personalities. And none of us are qualified to run anyone else's life.
Correct, yeah. Well, I've known for a long time that there is no laws on the books that says you cannot go out into the woods. And, I mean, as long as you have permission from the landowner or something like that, or you buy that land or whatever, you can go build you a hut or a wood cabin or log cabin, whatever you want to call it, a shack. You can live off the land.
Well, there are, though, in a lot of places.
Right, but you're thinking laws, though. I mean, you're thinking what man calls laws or regulations.
Oh, right, yeah, right. I thought you meant, like, state laws and federal laws. I mean, there's, you know, they'll if you don't do things like follow their building codes or pay taxes on your land, or connect your home to the power grid and things like that, they'll come after you and they'll throw you in a cage.
Sure, sure. Those are all just intimidation tactics, though.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I don't like, we need a new word for like natural law, because
right,
the word law has become so perverted by governments. So, yeah, I think we need a new word. I don't know what that word would be, but
law,
I'll think on it.
Law has been perverted by the lawyers and the judges.
Yeah. And the well, they itself. Pervert everything they touch, basically.
Sure. Sure, they do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and politicians, they definitely pervert it. But yeah,
I've been researching for 10 years. Do you know that there's actual a federal law on the books that says a corporation cannot hold an oath of office?
Yeah.
Go figure that one out, though, huh?
Yeah. Well, they get around that very nicely by buying the ones who do hold the office.
Well, a corporation cannot hold an office, so, you know, you do know the straw man argument, right?
Oh, yeah.
That we are corporations.
Right, right.
Well, that's what I was getting to. A corporation cannot hold an oath of office.
Well, the federal government is a corporation.
Yes, it is.
So.
A lot of people don't even actually know that none of the politicians, none of the 535 people that swore an oath of office actually swore it to the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
What they swore it to was the U.S. corporation.
Yep. Yep, and the U.S. has been a corporation since 1913.
Well, it's been a corporation since 1871.
Oh, right.
It goes back
right.
Further.
I was thinking of the Federal Reserve Act. Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. That happened at the end of the 1800s. You're right.
I have.
I don't always keep the details straight, but I've got the gist of it.
Yeah, that's okay. We have recordings. YouTube has recordings going back at least to Franklin Roosevelt in 1833, his inauguration. Mm-hmm. And I have heard quite a few of them. I've heard Roosevelt's. I've heard Kennedy's. I've heard Johnson's. I've heard Carter, Reagan, Bush Senior, Clinton, Obama, and Trump. What they all actually have said is, I, Donald J. Trump, do solemnly swear to serve and protect the U.S. Constitution, or the Constitution of the United States. But what they omit, what they leave out is, of America.
Yeah.
That's how they get their out. That's how they get their justifications.
Right.
They're not.
And what people also don't realize is that when you get your child a birth certificate, you are making your child into a corporation. And you are turning them into tax chattel. And the government borrows against you, every single one of us. They borrow from the Federal Reserve against our lives, against what they project they will get from us in tax revenue throughout our lives. We are literally a commodity. We are owned
and
by the federal government by registering with them at birth.
And we're traded on the stock exchange too.
Yep.
Well, let's go ahead and get into social contracts some more. I want to get your take on that. What let me get over here to this other link. I tried to watch a couple of videos about social contracting, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau was one of the names that popped up with the social contract. And I tried watching the video three times, and I got interrupted three times. But what theories do you know about them?
Well, you know, I mostly know about it from people, you know, screaming at me that I owe them something because of the social contract. So, really? You know, I look it up a little bit. I look up kind of the philosophy of it. But I looked and I looked and I looked and I never found a copy of it.
Uh-huh.
All I ever heard about the social contract was people's opinions that it existed, that I was liable and responsible for society, neighbors. And
do you think they are falsely using the appeal to tradition to try to get everyone to contract? You know,
I don't know.
Well, Derek, your parents and your grandparents and your great grandparents, they were all part of society, so you should be too.
Possibly, or appeal to antiquity anyways, or maybe could be like a appeal to popularity. Well, society wants this, so
appeal to, you know, historical beliefs, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. And I don't claim to know every logical fallacy. There is a chapter on it in my book, but just the most commonly used ones.
Yes, yes.
But
I don't claim to know them all either, but I do know a lot of them.
Yeah. And I'm certainly no expert, but I know when something smells like bullshit.
Exactly. The BS meter goes off.
Right. So, when people start using the word contract, if you want to use the word contract, you better show me a piece of paper that I signed willingly. You know what I mean? Like, there's no contract. I didn't sign anything.
Right.
My only, and there are other ways that contracts can be, you know, can arise from your activities. I believe that I have a contract that obligates me towards my children because my actions brought them here. I am responsible to them and for them. So I have a contract to fulfill there, but that's more of an ethical contract. But I didn't bring anybody else into existence. I'm not even responsible for my husband. He's responsible for himself. You know, I am responsible for the people that I created, and that is my children. and that's it. I'm not responsible for anybody else.
Right. Right.
Well, except for myself, obviously. Right. But yeah, I mean, every like
there.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There's a man out there. I'm trying to think of his name now. I got him in my phone book. He doesn't preach sovereignty, but you know, he does preach a lot of the common law stuff and that. And I've heard him on a podcast say that I do own my wife. My wife owns me. I own my son. My wife owns my son. That sort of thing. I believe it's the objects that you can actually make, like another human being.
I don't like the term owns, obviously. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. I am responsible to. I have obligation to my husband and my children. I have obligation to my family. I have a self-imposed obligation to my friends. And that's my choice. But the only obligation out of all of those that is for life, in my opinion, that can't be changed is the obligation that I have to myself and my children. The rest are all entered into willingly. I don't believe that a third party ever has a right to impose an obligation on somebody.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it an obligation. That makes it slavery.
Yes.
Because when you claim some right to force another person to do your will, you're claiming ownership of that person. That's the literal definition of slavery.
Like government does. Like the nobility does. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Like every petty tyrant who goes and pulls the lever at the voting booth. They're all trying to impose their will on their neighbors, in my opinion. I get a lot of hate for that.
That's basically what it boils down to, yes.
Yeah. And that's where that, you know, I posted the other day about the social contract. And that's because I had mentioned on somebody else's post, it was one of those, who are you going to vote for? And I was like, I don't vote. Voting is violence. And holy cow, I got so much hate mail for
that. I know.
That.
I don't vote either.
Yeah.
I don't, I don't get to pick what master you have, or, you know, I don't get to pick what tyrant we have.
Yeah. Yep. And I made that meme, if you remember, that, I don't vote, not because it's pointless and all this, but because
yes.
I don't have a right to choose a master for my neighbors. None of us do.
Yes.
And that one went viral, and like people hated me so much for that. And I was like, why do you hate me for saying that I'm not the boss of you?
Yeah.
Like, why is that grounds to hate somebody? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And I'm not going to pick your boss. Yes.
Yeah. Excuse me for trying to leave you alone to live your life as you see fit. Wow. I'm such a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, did you happen to see that comment I put on your post the other day about the movie, the Jimmy Stewart movie?
Oh, yeah.
Shenandoah. I seen that movie once, quite a few years ago, actually 4 or 5 years ago.
I've never gotten around to watching it, but I've had it recommended to me once or twice.
Well, the entire premise of the movie is he doesn't go along with the social norm. Mm-hmm. It's about the, I think down in Virginia or West Virginia or something, when the troops or sergeants, whatever you want to call them, captains, are coming around to people's farms and asking them to come join the fight. And he says, you know, I'm me nor my sons are going to come join your fight because it's not our fight.
Yeah, it's not my fight.
It's not my fight. He didn't have any slaves. He had like 6 sons and 3 daughters. Didn't need any slaves.
Right, that's a lot of farmhands.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People, they only see the one issue that's in front of them, like voting. Oh, you have an obligation to vote for the better person and all this, and you know, or use the system to change things to be the way that you want. And Okay, but then they're also protesting other things the government does with that authority that they have, like, abdicated to the government by voting. And that's the thing. You abdicate your own agency when you vote, when you participate in this system, when you support this system. You are abdicating your own free will and agency as a human being. And when the people you abdicated that to do evil and wicked things, like bombing hospitals on the other side of the world, you are responsible for that. You have blood on your hands.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And you know, I always get the argument, and you probably do. Well, we just voted the wrong man or woman in there. You know,
just vote them out in the next.
Yeah, just vote them out, and we'll get somebody good in next time. No.
There's no right person.
Because there's all liars. They are all liars.
And it goes even deeper than that, down to, like, the first principles of the issue. Anybody who wants to rule other people isn't fit to do it.
No.
It doesn't matter how good their intentions are. They are still a tyrant.
That's right.
No matter what. Right. If they run for public office, they are a tyrant.
That's right.
And there's no getting around that. When you break things down to first principles, which is another chapter in my book, I am a huge fan of first principles. Like, that's my favorite thing to talk about it's my favorite kind of mental exercise, I guess, is breaking things down into the very elements that they're built out of, like ideas and philosophies.
Well, you have to.
Right. And when you're able to do that and be really honest with yourself, and when you're able to question why things are the way they are, you have to do that to be able to break it down then into smaller pieces. And once you get down to the very basics of an idea, then you can see how many layers of bullshit have been sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
How many layers of things that are not true, that are little more than popular opinion, that are coloring the way that you see this issue.
Do you know Mark Passio?
I know of him. Yeah.
I've had him on the show once. He's a pretty great guy. Yeah. He says in his presentations, you know, for the vast majority of Americans, we have a computer that fits in our hand, put in our back pocket or our coat pocket or whatever. We have a computer. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, if people are not willing to seek what the truth is, they are seeking to be willfully ignorant.
Yes. There's literally no excuse for being ignorant in the 21st century. There's no excuse anymore.
No.
There just isn't.
It isn't.
No.
There's a statement by someone in the chat. Graham, he said, because two of the elements of contract law must include acceptance and meeting of the minds, then birth registration and mortgage contracts must be void because there is no disclosure to both parties. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten two mortgages in my life because how do you buy a house without one these days? And some things just don't feel like they're worth the struggle to do it any other way. I never claim to be perfect, but I feel like there was a lot of disclosure, but, you know, there isn't always.
Right.
For example, I could, if I wanted to make an issue of it, I could sue the people that we bought this house from because they did things like take the labels off of the HVAC unit and then they painted the HVAC unit then they stuck the labels back on to make it look new.
HVAC, what is that?
Like our heating and air conditioning, you know, the big the AC ones that, unit that sits outside.
The ones
outside.
That have a label, the ones that are clear labeled, do not tear these labels off?
Right, but they took it off really carefully and then painted the whole thing and then glued the labels back on so that the unit looked new. And we had to replace it to the tune of like $11,000 2 months after buying this house because it was in such bad shape.
Yeah, you should.
So yeah, there's not always disclosure.
You should have got a lawyer for that one. Yeah.
Well, but you know, I expect a certain amount of that. I never expect people to be fully honest with me, because as much as I'm an idealist, I am also a realist. And my dad wouldn't have had it any other way. My dad is an extremely successful businessman. And he just always, always made sure that we knew growing up that you hope for the best from people.
Plan for the worst.
Expect them to screw you over a
plan
little bit.
Plan for the worst, yeah.
Yeah.
Graham also said, there is no disclosure for the baby in birth registration. It's done by stealth.
Well, and by indoctrination. People aren't fully, people are not fully informed. And then, so when they do stuff like that, all the paperwork in the hospital after a baby's born, they wait. At least this is what they did with me. They wait until the husband's not in the room. They wait until, like, the evening or first thing in the morning. And this mom has just gone through, you know,
hell,
in my case, 11 to 24 hours of extremely difficult physical labor.
Sure.
And she hasn't gotten more than probably 45 minutes of sleep at a time since. And maybe only two of those little sleeps like that per day. And so
come over
you're
here
not
sign.
In your right mind.
Come over here and sign this, Sonny. We'll give you a sedative.
Right. You're not in your right mind. You're in so much pain. You're so distracted. And they shove a whole sheaf like this of papers under your nose that you have to sign in order to be discharged. And you just want to fucking go home because you're sick of being there and you want to get your baby home and you're tired and, you know, and you have other kids at home that, you know, and your spouse is off work and they need to get back to work and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, they do that when you're dizzy with fatigue and exhaustion. You haven't eaten a good meal in 3 days, you know, and you barely slept in 3 days. And that's how they get you. They just, and then nobody's ever been told or nobody's ever been shown. None of these women have ever been shown that they can question this.
Right.
Just because a doctor's telling you this does not mean that it is the gospel truth.
Yeah.
You get to question these things.
Yes.
You
get to get another
opinion.
And I
didn't know that till after I had kids. So that's how they get you. It's very stealthy. I agree. It's extremely stealthy.
I challenged one of the gods in the white suits one time. Or the white coats, whatever you want to call them.
White jacket, the lab coat, the gods in lab coats.
Yes, the white lab coat. The white lab coat syndrome. I challenged one time.
The lab coat syndicate.
I had tore a tendon in my hand and went to a neighboring city about 30 miles away and had it repaired up there. And I had a cast on for 2 weeks after the operation. And 2 weeks later, he took the cast off and said, go to therapy. And so I was in therapy for, I think on the third day, I was in therapy and the tendon retore in my hand.
Yeah. And,
I went back to him and
ow.
Somebody had mentioned to me, why don't you ask for a second opinion? So I perked up there and I said, do you mind if I get a second opinion? And he was taken back.
He was ticked.
Well, he didn't. He wasn't ticked, but he was taken back. And it took him about 10 seconds to say, yeah. He had he almost had this look like, why are you questioning me? Look.
Yeah, they definitely have God complexes, that's for sure.
But then I did. I went to another doctor about 75 miles away. It was a much, much bigger city and bigger facilities. And this guy specializes. And he said, if you would have came to me, I would have had that cast on your hand for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And he redid my surgery, and I had a cast on for 6 weeks.
And I bet it didn't tear again after did it?
No, it's been 12 and a half years, and I haven't had any problems with it since.
Yeah. You start to feel like a Model T on an assembly line, you know, at the doctor's office. So.
Well, you know, I want to, there are people all over the world. A lot of people in America too. They are joining and starting what's called intentional communities. Have you ever heard of those?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They are pretty much threw their hands up in the air with society.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've also thought for years too, for the 10 years I've been researching. You and I and everybody knows right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's right. We know what's wrong.
Yep.
People are choosing to do the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a willful choice.
And here's the thing. We are born with an instinct for right and wrong. Unless there's something like legitimately chemically wrong with somebody's brain. They're born with a instinct for what is right and wrong.
Yep. Even, but then, you know,
you spend 13 of your most formative years being taught a different version of what is right and wrong. And so
not a different, but a perverted version.
Right, right. Absolutely perverted. Yes. My homeschooled 6-year-old, he knows how to treat people. He knows what's right and wrong. He knows when he's done something that's wrong. I can tell it. There's guilt all over his face. I have to do very little, actually, in the way of guidance on this, because kids just have good instincts for it.
Sure.
You know? But then I look at some other kids that are public school that are being heavily indoctrinated by government, and these kids have totally lost track of what's right and wrong. You know, these are kids that bully other children into suicide. These are kids that beat up the weakest kid on the bus. These kids have so far lost their way. And it's from bad instruction, either from their parents and definitely from the school.
Sure it is.
So,
well, you know, I didn't... My father wasn't around because my mother divorced him at the age of 7. But, you know, how I learned about sex was from the neighbor kid that's about 7 years older than me. You know, I seen the Playboy books and the Penthouse books way back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's really a shame.
I mean, parents have to start taking more responsibility for their children. Really, this is a subject that I'm extremely passionate about. So government schools in every nation that does government schools, I'm not just talking about the U.S. I'm not like pointing the finger at Europe, every government that does government school. Okay. You got to stop thinking of it as public school. It is government school. And when that is present, even if the government were not corrupt, even if the teachers were super perfect and never, you know, made any effort to indoctrinate your kids, you are still abdicating your responsibility to bring up and instruct the people you are responsible for inflicting on society, on everybody else around them. When you have children, you are responsible for bringing them up properly, knowing how to interact with other people peacefully. And the thing about government school is parents stop thinking about that when they're sending their child to government school. That becomes the school's job. Parents give up their responsibility to do that, and they just drop the ball because they assume that their child is being socialized at the school, which is not the case. So even if your kid is in government school, because I realize homeschooling isn't going to be easy for everybody. I understand that, especially in Europe where it's illegal in so many places. You still have a responsibility outside when they're with you. You have a responsibility to be guiding them to become decent human beings.
Yeah.
Because you are the one who brought them into this world.
Yep.
And you are the one who is, when they are grown, going to unleash them on the rest of us.
That's right.
You are directly responsible for that, whether your child is in government school or not.
Do you remember
have
that,
to take that responsibility was, for that.
That was something that a parent would ask a kid. A neighborhood parent, you know, they would ask like little Jimmy. Little Jimmy, do you know what your mom Does your mom and dad know what you're doing? You know, the kids being a little brat.
Right.
Stealing stuff or breaking stuff up or something. I used to hear that a lot when I was a kid. Does your mom and dad know what you're doing?
Yeah.
And now they
Or
just,
I know your mother would not approve of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the kid today would just kill that man or woman.
Yeah. Some of them would. Yeah. That's unfortunate. But our... I don't even like the word society, really, because there is no society. There's only individuals. It's kind of a construct, but it's a convenient term to use for these contexts. So, you know, our society, our, you know, the human race, humanity, has become so diseased.
Certainly.
Ideologically and ethically and morally. And I'm not like a moral holy roller or anything like that.
No.
When I say morals, I mean like,
morals
that instinct we have as children to know right from wrong.
Morals doesn't mean religion.
No, it doesn't. I know, but a lot of people conflate the two. So I wanted to be clear about that. I don't mean like my version of morality, like you can't do this whatever. I mean that instinct for right and wrong choosing to do right.
It's been said morals are subjective.
Right. I know. And I think that's because everybody's working with different definitions of what morals even means.
Sure. I mean, look at the,
you know,
look at some of the Southeast Asian countries. They will eat stray cats and dogs, or, you know, they have to, I mean, there's been so much uproar from Westerners and Americans that go over there. They want to know what they're eating. So yeah, they have to, keep the fur on the foot attached to the foot. So somebody knows they're not eating the neighborhood dog that just ran around earlier today, you know, or the cat.
Yeah. So, yeah. People have different versions of, and I don't know that I'd even call that morals. I'd call that kind of like tolerances, like cultural tolerances, you know?
Yeah. Look at some of the Muslims don't eat pork. I don't think they eat meat either, do I? I'm not sure about that, but I know that there are some cultures that won't eat beef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think beef gets eaten in India much.
Right.
Cows are sacred there.
That's the one I was thinking of, yes.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, that's the thing that the name that I pulled out of my head as belonging to that, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah. There's another question for you in the chat.
Yeah. there's all different kinds of cultural tolerances and intolerances. And too many people put that under the heading of morals. I don't think, in my opinion, I have my own definition, obviously. That doesn't fit my definition of what are morals and what are not. To me, morals are extremely objective, because to me, morals just comes down to, you know, the internal choice between right and wrong, knowing what's right and what's wrong and choosing to do what's right. Objectively, you can't say that eating any other creature is objectively wrong. A person gets hungry enough, they'll eat anything. You know, a person has a right to survive, however they can make that happen. So I don't think, you know, things like what somebody eats or what they wear or any of those type of things, I don't think any of that falls under the umbrella of morality. Not in my opinion, anyways. But that's where a lot of the disconnect comes from. That's where a lot of the argument comes from. Is because everybody has a different like grouping of things that they'll put under that umbrella. So in one way, you could say that that's subjective, because everybody has a different subjective group of issues that they will consider under the umbrella of morality. But I mean, again, you break it down to first principles, you get really down to the bare bones of things, and it's not subjective down there. It's very objective.
Yes. That's another question for you. And then that could probably lead us into another subject, another argument. Can you speak about the lawfulness of schools enforcing vaccines for kids, taking parental responsibilities from parents, the ultimate rise of corporations?
Well, I'm not thrilled to speak about the lawfulness of anything, but I'll talk about my opinion of it all day and how I view it as it comes up against natural rights, which is to me what the whole issue is. Because quite often the law is a violation of human rights. Basically, in my opinion, every law on the books, every law ever written is a violation of human rights, because coercion is a violation of human rights. So the law itself already is coercive at its very core. That is the only way it can ever be enforced, is through coercion and violence. So any law is a violation of rights. But these mandatory vaccination laws, these are like layers upon layers upon layers of violations.
Think about this argument. Think about this argument here. You just said mandatory vaccination laws.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You go to a doctor or you go to Walmart, get a vaccination. They need your signed consent to vaccinate you.
Yep.
So how can they mandate by law if they still need your consent?
Well, here's the thing. By law, they used to need your consent. That's what they're trying to change, is that law that protected the bodily autonomy of citizens. So that's what they're trying to change. They're trying to make it so they don't need your consent.
Yeah. I've been lying to them for years myself. I've just been lying to them. They asked me, have you gotten your vaccine? Oh, yeah, I got it.
And I'm not, I got saying it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not saying all vaccines, you know, should be chucked. But there has to be, you know, you have to consider these things for yourself. Everybody has to consider each and every one for themselves, whether they think the risks outweigh the benefits or vice versa. for example, the HPV vaccine, that poison is not getting anywhere near my children.
Right.
No, sorry. That HPV vaccine, hell no, it is not going anywhere near my children. But there are others, you know, or maybe the older versions of other ones. I don't know. They're adding a lot of junk now that they never used to. So it's constantly changing, and there are risks. And wherever, here's my big thing, wherever there is risk, there must be choice. There absolutely has to be choice. If you are going to ask someone or expect someone to do something that has even the slightest potential to put themselves, their children, their property, anything of theirs at risk in any way, there must be choice. And if there's not, it's slavery and you're a tyrant. And to me, that's what it all boils down to. I know people say, oh, it's not that black and white because disease is spread. No, it's exactly that black and
white. It is. It is that black
and white.
It's
exactly that black and
white. The mumps don't kill anybody. The measles don't kill anybody.
And even if they did, I'm not responsible for the behavior of a virus.
Chickenpox don't kill anybody either.
Yeah, right. And I'm not responsible for the behavior of a virus anyway. I'm not responsible for if it spreads or how it spreads. I am responsible for me. I'm responsible for making the right decisions for me, and for now, making the right decisions for my children.
How do you?
And go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was just wondering about your boys. How do you think they're going to be in a few years? Do you think they're going to be like Alex Jones or something? They're going to be telling kids all this stuff and trying to change society, or?
I don't know. I've kind of lately been telling them, you know, that I think things are going to get pretty bad in the U.S. pretty soon.
Yeah, they are.
And I think that, you know, it's important to have your philosophy worked out, and it's important to live by your philosophy. It's important not to be a hypocrite to yourself. Because if you are, then you can't respect yourself. And self-respect is very important for success.
Well, you know.
But here's the kicker. I tell them, most of the people in the world we live in do not understand that. They will not understand you, and they will react to you with fear and hatred.
Sure.
So if you want to keep your own philosophy and your own lifestyle and how you choose to live your life. If you want to keep that to yourself, if you want to play their game to keep them off your back, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't demand like suicidal devotion to philosophy at, you know, at the, sacrificing everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not into like making martyrs out of my children. Look, things are going to go down. Things are going to get bad.
Yep.
It's going to happen one way or the other.
Well, there is a reason why there's
right
over 700,000 foreign troops in America today.
Right.
There's a good reason for that.
And then, so the shit's going to go down. What I choose to focus on, and I've told my kids this, what I choose to focus on is keeping the, you know, the passion for freedom alive by passing it to you guys and hoping you guys pass it to your children and so on and so forth. Don't worry about anybody else. We're not responsible for them. You know, there's not that many open-minded people in this world anyways. We are going to do what we can where we have the right to do it, and that is passing things along to our children. Someday, when this world is ready, when humanity is ready, these ideas will go through a renaissance.
Yep.
It is going to be generations from now.
Yep.
But when that happens, humanity is going to evolve beyond the concept of might makes right and that authority is legitimate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do the best you can to survive while you're here.
Yep.
Pass this along to your children so that it's still alive, at least in somebody's mind when the time is right.
Yeah.
And that's all I can think to do for my kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was not a smart kid in school. I didn't really apply myself. I didn't like school, but, you know, once I decided in 2009 to, look into college and that, that's when I got my awakening. Their own liberal college is the one that awakened me to their illusion.
Right. Well, they say, and this is interesting, they say the ubiquitous they, right?
Yes.
Researchers or whatever say yes. That there is 15% of the population that has a, like, that are born with a, almost like an immunity to indoctrination.
I've got
to
tell you something.
Like, something about the minds of 15% of the population sees right through this bullshit.
I've got to tell you something.
Without any effort at all.
There's a man named Dr. Pete Peterson. I seen him on Carrie Cassidy's program one time. She interviewed him. He said that there's 15% of the world's population. That was his exact number, too. 15% that can... Cool. That can virtually do what you just said. That can see through the bullshit.
Yep. Yep. I don't know if I'm one of those 15%. I feel like I could
sure you are. Report. Sure you are. You know what I did? I started to deconstruct all of their arguments back when I had my awakening. You know, like I mean, they
back down to first principles,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Isn't it so much fun? I love
yes,
that.
Exactly. I mean, they taught me how to think and they taught me how to reason.
Uh-huh.
So I started deconstructing all of their arguments, and I came to the conclusion that they are not going to relinquish their control on us.
No.
Without
no.
struggle.
God, no. Why would they?
Not without a struggle.
It's, yeah.
And the other thing. The other
power and wealth are very comfortable things yeah. to live with.
Absolutely. That's why they're building these bunkers, and
yeah.
that's why they have all of these nuclear weapons that are, quote, missing, you know.
Yeah, that's why they have all these other resources that are missing, all the money that's
yes,
always
yes,
missing from the Pentagon budget.
Yes.
That's
right.
Why, like, most of the western half of the United States is still federal land.
Yes.
All the good resources in the nation are still on federal land.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get us fighting with each other.
Yes.
About hoarding wealth and things like that. They get us pointing the fingers at each other over that.
Class warfare.
But really,
yeah.
they're the ones who've been hoarding everything. Yeah. Wealth, power, resources, all of it. They've been hoarding it for themselves.
Yeah. And the other conclusion I came to was everything they have done to this country, at least the last 150 to 200 years, they have been trending towards a society war.
Yeah, and I believe that it's very deliberate.
Sure.
People think these things just happen by accident.
Right.
But no, hell no.
No.
This is guided. This is.
It's all a concerted
effort.
There's
some secret society somewhere, like the Illuminati or whatever, that's keeping this
yes.
objective, this mission alive through generations.
Yep.
And they are sending agents out to push this agenda further along.
It's a concerted effort. Yep.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, there's so much evidence for that. Really, none of this is accidental.
No, no. You know, if anybody wants to look at the evidence, they can conclude the same answer themselves,
yep.
or they can stick their head back in the sand.
And it's not the only time it's been tried in history.
Right.
It's worked every time it's been tried. Every time they stay in power.
They didn't have the internet.
Every single time.
They didn't have the internet, though.
Yeah. Well, that might be what finally, you know, gives us some kind of an edge against
I truly believe
the information age.
I truly believe the internet was made for us. I know initially they had it for government and military use and corporations, just top corporations, but...
Yeah. Well, I think it's the big cat out of the bag, and it's going to bite them on the ass.
Yeah. Well, I think it was deliberately, though. I think it was deliberately given to us. Not just...
Yeah.
Well, not just somebody
I don't know that they anticipated the full effect of it, though. I think that it is causing them problems that they didn't anticipate. You know what I mean?
I don't remember his... his name, but the one Rockefeller, that's a senator, right? He was a senator just a few years ago or something. He come out and said in some sort of an article or a report or something, he said, we really shouldn't have given the internet to the American people.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't stop the signal now.
No.
You know, people have more access to other regular people than ever before. And it is becoming harder and harder for them to convince us that this other group of people over here is our enemy, sight unseen,
yeah.
which they used to be able to do very easily.
Sure, they did. In a newspaper, yeah.
Right. And they controlled all the sources of information and all of that. But now people can, you know, you can FaceTime with somebody on the other side of the planet.
Yeah. Or, Skype.
You know,
or Skype with somebody, yeah.
You have more in common with that person than you have in common with those assholes that are trying to tell you that person's your enemy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't stop the signal.
No, you can't. Well, it's been darn close to an hour here. We got about 56 minutes in.
Nice.
You wanna say anything about people, I don't know, could find you or... You do have your own show. Is it on Facebook or YouTube or what?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page where the episodes get posted. We used to do them live on YouTube, but then YouTube stopped supporting Google Hangouts. So we're having some trouble trying to do that again.
Well,
so we just pre-record at this point on Skype, and then, you know, Jason rips the audio and puts it on Stitcher.
Uh-huh.
So you can find it on, or Anchor or whatever. So you can find it on all the podcatchers. And it's called the Anarchy Among Friends Roundtable Discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a lot of fun of ourselves as being the most professional show on the web because we are the most unprofessional show on the web.
Uh-huh.
We have a lot of fun, though. A lot of fun doing it. We talk about some serious stuff, but we also talk about some fun stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, cussing and laughing and stuff. And I'm usually a little bit drunk when we do it. So... it's every other weekend, so it's about the only time I ever drink. But it's just fun. So you can find it there. You can find our Facebook page, the Anarchy Among Friends Roundtable Discussion. And then we are on YouTube, but our episodes go on the Voluntary Agrarian YouTube channel, which was Mark's YouTube channel. He was the one who was uploading all of them when we started the podcast. But you can find all of our old episodes on the Voluntary Agrarian YouTube channel. If YouTube hasn't nuked them, I don't know. It's possible.
You haven't been You haven't been wiped off the face of the earth, though.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we're not monetized or anything. We don't do it for ad revenue. We have, like, even when we were going live, we at most we'd have like 20 people watching it once. Right. It's not a big thing. We do it because we're good friends and we really enjoy talking about this stuff with each other. And, you know, other people like to catch it later when they have a chance, but they're long episodes. They're about 2 hours. So a lot of people just listen to it in bits and pieces. But anyways, yeah, that's where else you can find me. I am on Facebook. But I don't accept a lot of friend requests anymore because a lot of people really hate me.
Got a lot of trolls, huh?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. People are like, oh my God, an opinion I don't agree with. I have to destroy this person.
I got to turn her into the FBI. She wants to kill the government.
Yeah. Holy cow. I have to be nasty to her because she doesn't agree with me. My God, just fucking keep scrolling. Holy shit. Yeah, sorry. So that's I don't accept a lot of friend requests on Facebook. That's quite okay.
A lot of people don't even do the fascist book, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where you can find me.
All right. I'll let you go for the night.
Yeah, buy my book too.
Yes, absolutely.
And I didn't do that for money either. I get like $2 per copy sold because Amazon takes most of it.
Oh my God.
But if you're a parent who has an inkling that maybe you want to teach your kid critical thinking skills in a more deliberate fashion, my book, I think, is a good starting point. That's what I wrote it as.
Is that linked somewhere on your Facebook page or?
Not right now. Like, the little description under my profile picture says I'm the author of that book, but there's no link. But I can shoot you the link when we're done here if you want to put it in the description for anybody who wants to find it.
I'll just go to my Amazon and go back to my purchases and find the link that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Steven thinks that my book is worth something. If you guys respect him, you might like my book.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, everyone. That's the end of that for me. I got a few things to do and going to sign off and play a couple tunes. And Ed's coming up at 1 a.m. 8 Eastern, 1 a.m. your time over there. So I don't know if you're going to stay up for Ed or not, but I'm all done for the night. So thanks everyone for coming out. Till next time.